Let's pray. Father, it is so good for us this morning again to be in your presence, worshiping you and singing songs of praise to you. It is so good this Christmas season just to be able to come together like this and worship. Thank you. As Richard has already said and prayed, thank you for granting safety for all who ventured out this morning. Please continue to watch over people as they come to our second service and the kids program or to other churches or are just traveling on this cold day. Please continue to grant them safety and vehicles that work and get them to their destination. Thank you, Lord, again, for watching over us the way you do. When we are on the very mountaintop experiences of life or in the valley of the shadow of death, thank you for taking care of us and walking with us through this journey called life. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gift that you have given to mankind in your Son. Thank you, precious Jesus, for being willing to come and be born a baby. Yes, we celebrate that this time of year, but to live, to teach, to heal, to proclaim the good news and to die and to be raised again on the third day. Thank you, Jesus, for your mission. Thank you, God, for your plan to redeem humanity to yourself through your Son, Jesus. I just pray at this Christmas season we would know that, we would live that, we would love you more than ever before, trust you, surrender to you, and follow you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for the Christmas story and all there is about it, the shepherds and angels and wise men and this young lady, very young lady, Mary, her espoused husband, Joseph. Thank you for this whole story. Thank you for Jesus. And so guide us this morning, Lord, again as we look at Jesus, your gift, this Prince of Peace. Guide us as we continue to worship you. We want to hear from you. So guide us, Lord, by your Spirit. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I was working on this sermon a couple of days this week, and I was working on a funeral sermon at the same time. And so perhaps I wasn't paying as good attention as I should have been. But I was working on this sermon early in the week for a couple days, and it occurred to me about Thursday of this week, after I had this one all written up and put together, that perhaps it seemed a little familiar to me, this Jesus Prince of Peace title. And so I began to look in last year's notes, having not done that before I started this journey, and found that last year on the third Sunday of Advent, I preached on Jesus the Prince of Peace also. Did you remember that? No, you didn't either. So it doesn't matter then, does it? Because none of us remembered. But I did. I discovered that after I had put this one all together. I discovered, I thought this was starting to look awful familiar, and I discovered about Thursday, oh man, I talked about that last year. But I also feel that this is from the Lord. And so that's why I have not dug into last year's notes, but kept with what I felt was from the Lord anyway. So we're talking about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Now, when we get to the end, I'm pretty sure you will remember one thing, because I talked about the poem that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote, and it got translated to I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. I bet you remember that. And then we're going to end with Casting Crowns singing that song, because they do it so exceptionally well. And so maybe that part you'll remember. If the sun is in your eyes and you want to turn those shades up a little bit so it isn't blinding you, feel free to do that. Okay, so I'm going to go through a whole bunch of scriptures, and so if you've got your Bible, just stay with me, and it'll be on the big screen too. But I'm talking about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Do you remember in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that Isaiah said, 700 years before Jesus came, he said this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, and Counselor, and Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, and his name will also be called Prince of Peace." Now I will be the first to admit this morning, at this time of year, it can bring out all kinds of emotions, some of them not that favorable. Lots of people have lots of feelings that are anything but peace-filled. I get that. I see the posts on Facebook, and I hear the broken hearts, and I know of the circumstances, a lot of circumstances. And so I will be the first to admit that this time of year is not that peace-filled for some people. I realize that life gets hard. You know that, and I know that. I did a funeral for a 55-year-old just yesterday. I was with a man who died Friday. I heard about a good friend of mine who died Thursday. And some of our own mids have lost your family in the last 2 weeks. And so I realize that life gets hard, and death and sickness and loss of jobs and loss of homes or loss of health. I realize that all happens, and we don't even want to hear about holiday cheer, much less joy to the world. I get that. But in spite of the difficulties of life, in spite of all the things that life can dish out, I want to speak to us today about the Prince of Peace and having that eternal peace that only Jesus offers today. I want to talk about that and remind us, because I believe it's real. I've talked to you, a lot of you and others, as we have gone through hard times, and you've told me about, but I've got that peace. It's real. When we know Christ and we put our faith in Him, that peace that passes understanding that the Apostle Paul writes about is real. And forgive me if this just seems too far out there for you to grasp this morning, because I know that a lot of people in our midst, right here in our church family, have lost their loved ones in the last 2 weeks and this year. I know that. And so forgive me if it just seems too far out there for you to grasp right now. I pray that through this season, though, you will feel again the Prince of Peace. I got to hold an almost 2-year-old baby yesterday as she slept in my arms. I did the funeral in the morning, and we got to go to a 50th anniversary in the afternoon, and she was tired, and I got to hold her as she slept in my arms for a little while. And I'm reminded of that peace of the babies in their sleep. When they're awake, it's other than that. And I'm reminded of Jesus when he came as a baby. I bet he was that way too, peaceful, sleeping in his mother's arms. But that's not what Isaiah talked about when he said he will be the Prince of Peace. When he describes him as the Prince of Peace, he's not talking about a peaceful little baby in Mary's arms. All that he was, to be sure. But he's talking about much more than that. And so, I want to show us through some scripture here. A couple of these I did use last year, so they will be redundant to some of you that remember that far back. The most of them are not ones I've used last year. Luke 1:79 I'm going to go to first. And I'm just going to show a scripture about this title over and over and over, the Prince of Peace. And I think you remember the story in Luke chapter 1, don't you? The angel came to Zacharias in the temple. Remember that story? Elizabeth and he were old. She hadn't had any children. And the angel came to Zacharias in the temple while he was offering up sacrifices to God. And the angel said, your wife's going to have a son. Well, that's the prophecy for John the Baptist. We remember that, right? We remember that. Okay, well, he didn't believe the angel that day. He said, well, how can this be? I'm old. And the angel said, because I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God. And God sent this message. So I think you know that story. The long and the short of it is, then for months, Zacharias couldn't say a word. The angel said to him, because you didn't believe, you're not going to say a word now until the baby is born. And he told him that his name would be John. And so I think we know all that story. And after the baby was born, he gets a writing tablet. He writes on there, his name shall be called John. And immediately his tongue was loose, his mouth was open, and he could speak. And he speaks this prophecy then about his son, who is John the Baptist, and about Jesus. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 79, Zacharias says this, prophesying, because Jesus isn't born yet, prophesying about Jesus to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He's not talking about the Romans. He's talking about an inner peace that he will offer. I want us to grasp this today, friends, and I know that you do. I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but I want us to ask ourselves and think, do we understand there isn't any real, eternal soul peace outside of Jesus? Do we grasp that? Do we wrestle with that and grasp that? There isn't any soul, eternal peace outside of Jesus. I know that statement sounds bold, but I'm not just saying that. Jesus said that. I'm going to show you from Scripture. Jesus said that in Scripture after Scripture about Himself. So if we're looking for a peace that will be eternal, we must look to Christ, the Prince of Peace. He said Himself in John 14:27 to His disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. There is a difference between the world's offering of peace and the peace that Jesus offers. There is a difference. And that's why I made the statement, there isn't any real eternal soul peace outside of Jesus the Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And I know if you've got your Bible open and you're looking at John 14 and you're looking at that whole paragraph, Jesus is talking about the coming Comforter. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. I know that's all in there. But the bottom line is, as He is speaking about peace, He's telling His disciples there will be no peace from the world that satisfies like the peace of Jesus satisfies. The world, let me tell you, will offer you a counterfeit peace. You know what I'm saying? The world will offer you a counterfeit peace. Jesus said, I give you a peace not like the world's peace. The enemy of our souls and the world will offer you a peace in your jobs, in your career, in your title, in your pocketbook, in your 401k, in your toys, in your kids, in your spouse, and a whole lot of other stuff. The world will offer you a peace and say, go for it, because you'll get peace in this. And Jesus said, the peace I offer is not like that at all. In John 16:33, Jesus said this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. That's peace in here. In the world, He said, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I am here to remind us this morning, friends, you can know and have peace even in a chaotic time. Amen? We can. Yes, there will be trouble. Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But in me, He said, you'll find peace. So we ask ourselves, yeah, but Jim, what about what I'm going through right now? We ask ourselves and we wonder, will there be times of uncertainty for even followers of Jesus? Of course. Of course. Jesus just got done saying, there will be trouble and tribulation in the world. Will life still hand you some hurts and some disappointments? Yes, sometimes it will. But when we know Christ and we really trust Him and really surrender to Him, there will be a peace that swells up within us that comes out of nowhere. That's the peace of Jesus that helps us through those tough times. And when trouble and trials and tribulation comes, it's precisely at these times that the peace of Jesus will stand out in our minds and in our hearts and our souls and our lives. It's precisely at these times when it's seemingly no peace to be found because of the situation we find ourselves, it's precisely at that time that Jesus and His peace shows up again. And through the valley of the shadow of death, and through difficult days, that peace just quiets our heart and souls a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, Paul writes this, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." You see, God wants people to be saved. We know that. God wants people to be part of His family, born spiritually into His family. We know that from Scripture. And part of being saved, part of being the family of God, is that peace of Jesus. Romans 5:1, he said this, "Therefore, having been justified," Paul is writing to the church at Rome, "having been justified by faith," that means he's talking to believers that have come to faith in Christ, and they are justified in the sight of God. We call it born again, saved, justified, whatever biblical words you want to take. But Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." When we have been justified, when we have been born again, when we have been saved, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul writes. And so, friends, the only way we can be at peace with God the Father is through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say, believe me, when the end comes, whenever that may be, we want to be at peace with God. Philippians 4:6-7, the Apostle Paul writes this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I know that some of you have experienced that. The peace that passes understanding. The peace that transcends understanding. The peace that comes up out of nowhere. You sometimes wonder, where did that come from? That is the peace of God. And Paul says, and Jesus said, and John said, that is ours for the benefit of knowing Christ. Peace through very, very tough times. Now, let me say again, friends, please understand me. I am in no way, shape, or form trying to minimize your pain. Because I know we've had a lot of loss of life in our midst this year. I know that. And I'm not trying to minimize anyone's pain because it is painful. I know the pain of death is real. I know the pain of depression is real, and homelessness and war and being told you got cancer. I know the pain of all that stuff. I know that. But what I am saying is this gift of God in Christ will help you through the sting of those things. We will have that inner peace that gives us the ability to go one more day, trusting in Him. My late friend and brother Dave Bushell used to say it often when he was dying with cancer. He said, "Jim, it's a win-win situation. I win if I stay here and join my family. I win if I go home to be with Jesus." You see, he knew the peace of Jesus. That's the peace that Jesus is talking about. And we will never know that outside of Christ. We will find momentary peace and we will find some happiness and joy from this, that, and the other thing. But we will never know that kind of peace until we know Christ. I'm not talking about know about Him. I'm talking about know Him. And when we know Him, we can know we have a very real peace in Christ. Even when cancer is killing us, we still have that peace because we know He has conquered death and the grave, and we still that peace just rises up within us all over again. Friends, I talk to people all the time that said, Jim, I believe in God. I say, praise the Lord. But do you really know Him? Do you really know the Son of God? Because until we really know the Son of God by faith in Him as Savior, we'll never know this kind of peace. And so when I'm talking about peace this morning, I'm not talking about the I believe in God kind of relationship with God. I'm talking about the kind of relationship with God through faith in Christ that has changed me. I've been justified. I've been saved. I've been born again. I'm talking about that kind of transformation we have had through Christ that has changed me. And when we have been changed by the Spirit of God that comes into us when we acknowledge the Son of God, well, He changes us. We no longer look to the peace of the world. We look to the peace of the Prince of Peace. I was telling somebody here just a little while ago, an hour or so ago, maybe Richard and I were talking about, But in the last 2 weeks, six of you in our midst have lost your family members. In the last 2 weeks. Jeron Richards lost her father. Kathy Johnson lost her sister. Robert Anderson lost his mother. Richard Esler lost his brother. Dwight Eggert lost his son. Roy Bell lost his uncle, all in the last 2 weeks. Not to mention, some of you have lost your loved ones this year. And so I know that this season is hard for some. The recent deaths in our family tells us that's enough to try to process. And I don't want to hear about joy to the world and all that stuff. And so please understand, I'm not trying to minimize your loss or your pain. What I am saying, though, when Jesus was prophesied 700 years B.C. to be the Prince of Peace, He is the author of a peace that's in here that only we can know when we know Him. He wants to enter into a covenant relationship with you and I so that we really, really know Him and really know that peace when difficulty hits. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The world will offer you a peace, but it's temporary at best. It'll never be eternal. The only eternal peace is in Christ. And so, I want to tell you a little story that I told you last year, some of you that were with us last year, about Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who was a poet, and this poem that he wrote on Christmas Day got transferred as into a song. But before I tell you that little story, I want to just encourage you to allow the Prince of Peace to minister to you today in this season. Allow the Prince of Peace into your heart and home so that you know that you know I have peace eternal in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And if you're not certain or you're just struggling with and don't have any peace, call upon Him, trust Him. Allow the Prince of Peace to minister to you all over again. Now, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow lived at a time just prior to the Civil War and through the Civil War. And those of you that remember me telling this story last year, he had just lost his wife. Her dress caught on fire while she was fixing the stove in the kitchen and it burned her to death. His oldest son hopped aboard a train and went to the Civil War, had a bullet shot right through his shoulders, in tough shape. And all this is in the mind of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow on Christmas Day of 1863 when he found himself a 57-year-old widower, father of six kids at home yet, his oldest son shot up in the Civil War, having nearly been paralyzed And on Christmas Day, he wrote this poem, seeking to capture the dynamic and dissonance of his own heart and the world he observes around him. He heard bells out of his house door that day. He heard bells on Christmas Day. And he heard people singing down the street someplace about peace on earth. And so he heard the bells and he heard this phrase, peace on earth. But in his own heart and in his own mind, he observed the world of injustice and violence. The Civil War was raging on. He had just lost his beloved wife. He was raising 6 kids by himself. And peace on earth, he said, seemed to mock the truthfulness of this optimistic outlook that these people were singing about. And he penned this poem. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along this unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And here's where his heart gets poured onto the page. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail and the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to men. May we know that kind of peace this season. Let's listen to Casting Crowns sing that song and then we'll close in prayer.
Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing in my heart, I hear them like a choir singing peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bow my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and marks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells are ringing like a choir singing. Does anybody on earth, goodwill to men. For the bells are ringing like a choir singing, and our hearts will hear them.
Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the author of peace. When we invite him in and ask him to take over, we can know that peace that gets us through war and cancer and death. Only in Jesus will we find that peace. We'll never find it in the rest of the world's offerings. Only in Jesus. I hope that we're going to close with prayer. I hope that you'll stick around. Our children are going to be getting costumed up, and at 10:30, in a few minutes, we'll get the stage transformed. At 10:30, our children will offer you their Christmas program. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we know the peace can be ours through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you that even in the very difficulties, the very hardest times of life, we can still know Jesus and still have that peace. Thank you that that's available. I pray for peace for our nation. We seem to be all out of sorts. We're angry at each other. We're up in arms about elections and police officers and all kinds of things. I pray that our nation would know peace, the peace of Jesus. I pray that it would begin in our churches, that we would be so filled with you, Heavenly Father, with you, Lord Jesus, with you, Holy Spirit, that we would be a more peaceful people. Because the Prince of Peace resides in us. And being more peaceful ourselves, that your love would radiate and your peace would radiate through your church. And so I pray this season, Father, for those that aren't experiencing any peace. May they cry out to Jesus, the author and Prince of Peace, and know him as Lord, and be reminded in the very brokenness of their heart and the very depth of their spirit that he will give us some rest and peace in him. And so I pray for those hurting today, those hurting in our city, in our churches, in our families, that they would grasp onto you, Lord Jesus, by faith and know that peace. Thank you for our children. Thank you for those who have put in the effort to work with the children through these many weeks in preparing for this program. We look forward to that in just 30 minutes. Bless them, Lord, as they share with us the Christmas story. Bless each one here through this week and through this season. And may we be filled with the peace of Jesus, I pray, in his name. Amen.